Change the words, make me blind. Chapter 24. Kara didn't need to utter a single word for Kaylin to know the exact moment when Denna breathed her final breath. She had been silent for a while, and Kaylin had taken advantage of her placidity to shift them both into a slightly more comfortable position. Though she knew Kara would protest the instant she came out of the spell and found herself back there, she had lifted the motionless Maud Sith back onto the bed, and, by doing so, discovering that Kara was far heavier than her small stature suggested, and eased her back down against the pillows. Kara, ever unresponsive, hadn't said anything about the shift, her body moulding itself automatically to the shape of the bed as she was deposited there, and exhaling something like a breathy sigh. Kaylin, meanwhile, had indulged herself, even as her common sense disapproved, by laying down as well, flush, beside her. The bed was still too small for the two of them, but Kara was unconscious, or as close to it as anyone could be with their eyes wide open, and Kaylin didn't mind. After what had transpired with the knee, yet another memory that had been so changed from the reality she knew so well, she needed the closeness, the warmth of another body, of Kara's body next to her. She needed the gentle rise and fall of Kara's chest, the rhythm of her breathing, the beating of her heart. She needed Kara, willing or otherwise, and she knew that she would be needed as well, and probably sooner rather than later, just as soon as the spell took Kara down another unpleasant avenue. Denna's death, in itself, wasn't enough to break Kara's silence. It surprised Kaylin that she didn't twitch or flinch, or even lunge forwards in violent combat as she had done last time. She had expected something cataclysmic, something identifiable. She'd expected an altercation filled with fire and violence, bone-shattering blows dealt and received on both sides. Something, anything, that would identify it as the significant event she knew it was. Instead, the incident followed almost perfectly, at least so far as Kaylin could tell, the same path that had come to pass in the world she knew. A quick, simple, effortless assault, from a distance so great that Denna didn't even stand a chance. A single arrow to the back, mirrored almost comically in the way Kara unconsciously played out the shot. And then there was nothing. Kaylin remembered it well, remembered the self-satisfied pride on Kara's face, the pure release of having finally stopped the woman who had hurt Richard. And yet, though the method of slaughter seemed to be the same, Kara's reaction here certainly wasn't. Her expression flickered, body going rigid and rough with something that looked surprisingly like disappointment. "Kara?" Kaylin asked gently, fingertips trailing up and down Kara's arm, occasionally dangling in the laces. "She's dead now. You killed her. Just like you said you would." True as it was, the statement seemed to do little to ease the tension in Kara's body, nor did it do anything to soothe the distress on her face. Kaylin sighed, leaning in closer, letting her head rest on the Maud Sith's shoulder, feeling the soft blonde hair fall about her face as she kept up the rhythmic brushes of her hand. She didn't know what else to do, didn't understand why this was a source of such sorrow to Kara, who had seemed to want nothing more than to see Denna dead. Surely that world's Kara would be more delighted to see the deed done than even her own Kara had been. Surely she'd be alive with the thrill of vengeance served, the sadistic joy that Kaylin knew, hard as it was to accept the fact, flowed thicker than blood through her Maud Sith veins. But there was none of that. Kara looked almost as though she'd wished it had never happened at all, and Kaylin couldn't fathom why. And so, not knowing what to do, she allowed her hand to slide up and over Kara's arm, her shoulder, her throat, until she cupped Kara's chin and turned her sightless white eyes towards her. "You did well," she said. Kara twitched, looking very much as though she'd heard, and wholly disapproved of the words, and Kaylin huffed a sigh as her companion's head dropped back onto the pillows, and she gazed blindly up at the ceiling, oblivious once again to Kaylin's existence. "We'll never find her body," she sighed, And with those five simple words, Kaylin understood the difference, and just how significant it was. Her Kara had been just as intent on seeing Denna dead, but Kaylin had always suspected it was out of loyalty to Richard, and a burning desire to see the woman who had killed him, however briefly, aptly punished for the deed. Whatever personal issue had simmered beneath the surface of the two Mordse, they seemed to have been worked out some years ago, leaving only two former sisters on opposite sides of a war. The method of Denna's death hadn't mattered to her Kara, so long as the other woman died by her hand, her death would always have been satisfactory. It wasn't the same for Dahlia's Kara, Kaylin realized. This Kara, the one Kaylin could see crackling just beneath the tainted surface of her Kara, was acting out of anything but loyalty. She was acting out of vengeance, seeking compensation for the things Denna had done to her, and for what she'd done to Dahlia. It was a thousand worlds apart, and the difference was chasms wide. Kaylin knew far too well, and far too intimately, just how important it was to see the subject of a vengeance killing die. To feel the blade go in, to taste the sweet tang of their surrender, to catch the scent of their blood, their breath, their death. She was no Maud Sith, far from it, and even she knew how incomparably valuable those things were. For Kara, whose very existence was blood and bone and pain, it must have been a thousand times more true. "I'm sorry," she offered, with sincerity, pressing her lips to the crease on Kara's chest, where leather met skin. "I'm sorry you couldn't see her die. I'm sorry she wouldn't let you have even that small victory over her. I'm sorry she took that away from you too. I'm so sorry, Kara." Kara shifted uncomfortably. At her sides, her fingers were clenched into tight fists, and Kaylin brought her own hands down to try and loosen them, before Kara gave herself an arthritic injury. It took far more effort than she'd ever admit to pry the Maud Seth's fingers apart, and she held them tightly in her own to make sure she didn't fist them again as soon as she was released. It was for Kara's own good, she told herself. It was a necessity, a part of the duty she'd promised to uphold by being here. But that did little to negate how pleasant the cold leather felt against her two warm hands, or how naturally Kara's fingers seemed to wrap around her own. And it did nothing to still the butterflies that flittered deep in her belly. After taking a moment or two to properly compose herself, Kara shifted position yet again, and Kaylin knew she was turning away from the cliff and the absence of Denna's body to face her companions. She was still tense, and Kaylin suspected she would be for quite a long while. But even lying motionless on the bed as she was, Kaylin could tell she was holding herself with characteristic stoicism. "So," Kara said, a little too quietly, "now what?" It was a simple question, with a simple answer. It was also a question that Kara would swiftly come to regret having asked at all. Predictably, though no less annoying for being that way, it took over a month to find the new seeker. A month of Denna's laughing face dancing before Kara's mind's eye, every time she so much as blinked, to the point that she began insisting on taking at least the first two watches every night, just so she could have a few pitiful hours free from her one-time sister's mocking smile. A month where, even in death, she was a slave bent to Denna's will. A month of Kaylin sensing the discomfort in her, and using every possible opportunity to displace her frustrations over Richard's absence by asking if Kara felt like talking about whatever was distressing her. After a month of that, Leo Dane was practically a relief. His attraction to her was obvious from the moment they first met. Indifferent as he was to the Aegil she'd pressed so indecorously against his neck, and only seemed to grow ever more enthusiastic with every effort she made to spurn his clumsy advances. It was distracting, and Kara knew it should have been aggravating, but the soft way he laughed at his own jokes was so very different to Denna's ruthlessly mocking laughter, even as it continued reverberating through her head every time she closed her eyes. Leo was a bumbling fool, hardly fit to bear the title of seeker, but he was a welcome reprieve from her dreams, her thoughts, and the visions of Denna that plagued her. Besides, she couldn't help thinking, he didn't indulge in the patronizing concern of the Mother Confessor, and he was far nicer to look at than the wizard. Unsurprising as they were, his advances were not entirely undesired, and Kara allowed him to make a fool of himself for her benefit, on probably more occasions than she should have. He was a good man, for all his flaws, and there were a great many of them, and she told herself that she was simply allowing him to fixate on her, so that the distraction might ease the strain of his forced acclimatization to the new world he'd been thrown into, a world that, she imagined, must be frightening to ones as unaccustomed to it as a common blacksmith. Galen's amusement at Leo's advances, and in turn the fact that Kara did not actively spurn them, was, by contrast, most certainly unwanted. Kara knew that she missed Richard, knew that she was latching on to the simmering sentimentality behind Leo's eyes, and the way Kara wasn't instantly rejecting it, because focusing on the two of them gave her something other than Richard to think about. That knowledge, true as it was, did not make the other woman's infuriating girlishness any less of an aggravation, and Kara was forced to grip her agios with white-knuckle intensity on more than one occasion after the Mother Confessor's kind teasing had sparked the urge to inflict violence. She did not care for Leo. He was convenient, and he was attractive. He was, though she would never admit it to his face, mildly entertaining. And he was, she supposed, not a terrible seeker. At least, not quite so terrible as Richard could be. But he was not her mate, and he was not her friend. He was the seeker of truth, and she was his protector. Not because of any feelings she may have been harbouring for him, but because Richard had ordered her to serve Galen, and Galen wished for her to protect Leo. If the Mother Confessor couldn't tell the difference between obligation and feeling, it was her mistake, and Kara would play no part in encouraging her childish amusement. Galen remembered Leo, of course. He'd been a good seeker and a brave man, and she had come to care deeply for him over the course of that too long period he'd spent travelling with them in Richard's place. Kara, though, had scarcely spared him so much as a glance, much less a conversation. He had tried, and tried hard, but Kara had been characteristically calloused, serving him only as far as her obligation forced her to, and keeping a safe distance from him on every other level. She had held some level of respect for Leo, Galen knew, both as a seeker and as a combatant, but she'd shown no interest in his efforts to befriend her, and had refused to reciprocate, even a little, even out of politeness, his most earnest approaches. In a way, Galen had felt sorry for Leo, though she'd known as well as Kara that they'd had more important things to worry about than making sure their new seeker was loved and appreciated by all of his companions. And, after a couple of weeks, Leo had accepted that as well. Slowly but surely, he'd stopped his efforts with Kara, and focused instead on the others. Galen remembered well how he'd taken, towards the latter end of their time together, to staying up far later than he needed to, listening to stories and history lessons from Zed, and Galen too had found herself caught up on many occasions in sharing enthusiastic tales with him about Richard's heroic deeds. Leo had filled a little of the void left behind in Richard's absence, not completely, and Galen would have confessed in an instant anyone who claimed it was so, but just enough to keep her heart from breaking every time she thought of him. Galen had welcomed and appreciated the real appreciation Leo had held for his predecessor, and Zed had eagerly relished the opportunity to speak for hours on end into an ear that seemed genuinely interested in listening to him. They had both liked Leo well enough, but for Kara, her Kara, at least. He was not Richard. He was not her Lord Jarl, and thus her duty to him remained secondary to the promise she'd made to Richard when he'd left, to protect Galen. It was obvious within a matter of minutes that that particular dynamic was a fundamentally different one in this strange other world. The first time Kara laughed, it caught Kaelin so completely by surprise that she very nearly fell off the bed. They'd been curled together on the too small mattress for hours, Kara drifting in and out of half-mumbled silence, and Kaelin drifting in and out of half-awake slumber. She'd been listening attentively, of course, and had heard every word. But the fatigue of far too long spent watching over the spelled Mord Sith was beginning to take its toll again, and, though Kaelin's mind was sharp, her body had demanded a moment to rest. She had been jolted awake in the end, by the unexpected sound of laughter bubbling up from somewhere in Kara, and had felt herself light up from within at the unexpected and unfamiliar sound. "You should do that more often," she'd pointed out, unable to keep from smiling. "Aren't you supposed to be asleep?" Kara had replied, not missing a beat. Compliant and exhausted, Kaelin had acquiesced, dozing semi-consciously on her side for the best part of an hour, as Kara and the Otherworld's Leo exchanged amusing but purposeless pleasantries. It was only when Kara began thrashing again that Kaelin was jolted from her comfortable, mostly unconsciousness. She'd kept herself tangled up in Kara's limbs, head resting on her collarbone, light and dark hair blending seamlessly as if they were designed to fit together just like this, all the while insisting to herself that it was a necessary arrangement for means of practicality. If anything happened to Kara, from the tiniest twitch to the most violent spasm, Kaelin would know, and would be woken by it. The closer they were, she insisted in a bid at silencing the dubious rational corner of her mind, the less time it would take for Kaelin to wake up and put herself into a position to offer whatever Kara needed. It was a logical arrangement, that was all. Practicality, necessity, and responsibility. It was no more and no less than that, she told herself, even as her too rational mind demanded to know who she was trying to convince. Much to her hazy relief, Kara's thrashing was aggressive enough to banish all other thoughts and internal arguments from her mind as she woke, and she jolted upright almost before her eyes had fully opened. Kara? She asked groggily. Not waiting for a response, she gripped Kara's face in both hands and forced those spellblind eyes to meet her own in a bid at looking into them and seeing the nature of whatever was happening to her this time. It took less than a moment, as Kara's mouth fell open, for Kaelin to become acutely aware of the way her chest was heaving, with carefully repressed hunger, and the way her breathing had taken on a decided edge of not in danger. Kara, she sighed, a little more cautious. Somewhat guilty, she willed herself to believe there was at least a chance of Kara's reaction being born of danger, even as she felt, for what seemed like the thousandth time in a few very short days, a hot blush creeping up her neck. It was possible, after all. It certainly wouldn't be that the first time the Mord Sith reacted to a fight in the same way she reacted to certain other kinds of physical exertion. It was a futile hope, though. Already, Kara's jaw was moving, just inches away from her own, and Kaelin fought to keep from groaning. Kara, she repeated instead. I'm here. Kara leaned in, and the wolfish grin on her face was almost more than Kaelin's pounding heart could take. Then what are you waiting for? The tone of her voice, and the way her hips lifted in unmistakable invitation, were all Kaelin needed to banish for good all possible thoughts of combat, or conflict, or any other deluded beliefs she'd been clinging to, and she scrambled off the bed as fast as she could. Apparently, Leo was talented in far more areas than simply making Kara laugh. Sleeping with Leo had been a great mistake. Kara had known it would be, long before it had ever happened, but she had simply been unable to help herself. The smell of him, the scent of sweat and earth and rain, the heat of the fire, the magnetic pull of their bodies, he'd wanted her, and it had been a very long time since she'd last had the opportunity to scratch that particular itch. and so she had surrendered to the moment, as though it were beyond her control. It had been primal and raw, fueled by passion and naked lust and a primal hunger the likes of which Kara hadn't felt in some time. It had been pleasurable, and all the more so because she'd made sure that Leo only ever did as much or as little as she wanted him to. And he, in turn, accepted the submissive role she assigned to him with surprising eagerness. For all his undeniable charm, in this, Leo Dane was no more than an instrument, a surprisingly well-tuned one, and one that admittedly satisfied her more times than she had anticipated, but an instrument nonetheless. He'd gotten the job done, and admirably, and now Kara had no further need for him, or his jokes, or his smile, or his bright eyes. If she lived to be 1,000, she would deny the cataclysm of panic that tore through her, as he held up that damn red flower with those innocent eyes and that warm smile. She would deny that the calloused way she dismissed him was anything other than inevitable, and that he was more of a fool than she'd originally thought him to be, if he'd expected anything else from her. She would deny the panic as having any part of her dismissal, because it was absurd to believe such a foolish thing as fear could ever exist in the heart of a Maud Seth. It was a flower, and he was a man. Between them, they were the most unintimidating combination in all the world. It would be beyond ridiculous to think for even a moment that such things could cause a Maud Seth to panic. And yet, somehow, she was quaking with it. Leo, of course, was oblivious. He was accustomed to the way she cast him aside by now, she supposed, and took her at her word with little more than a scowl and a sigh. It bothered her, far more than she'd care to admit, that she didn't know whether to be relieved or disappointed when he walked away and left her alone. The hurt look on his face, the one he tried so hard to conceal, even as she told him in no uncertain terms that he was mistaken if he thought she cared at all, made her chest constrict, in a way that was unnervingly reminiscent of the way Dahlia had made her feel when she had asked after her newborn son, and Kara had been unable to tell her that she would never be able to hold him in her arms. A man as utterly absurd as Leo Dane should not have been able to stir up such discomfort, such memories within her. Kara blamed the flower. The last thing she needed in that moment, as she stood and struggled to reconcile the pain she felt with the absence of it she knew she was supposed to feel, was Kaelin's presence stepping up behind her, announced as it was by the telltale hitch of her breath. It was the same hitch that Kara had come to learn meant that the Mother Confessor was about to share her opinion on something, whether it was wanted or not. And they both knew, when Kara was its recipient, it was always not. "You know," Kaelin said on cue, and Kara bit back a groan of frustrated aggravation. "I've been watching you for weeks, and I can tell you care about him." It took far more effort than Kara would have liked to remind herself of the fact that driving her agils up Kaelin's nose as hard as she could, though it would undeniably make her feel better, was also a direct contradiction to the promise she'd pledged to Richard. Instead, and with more reluctance than she'd ever felt in all her life, she opted to clench her jaw and roll her eyes. It wasn't nearly enough. "You can't read a Maud Seth," she pointed out, keeping her eyes locked tight on the horizon, and increasing her pace in the vain hope that Kaelin would, for once in her life, get the message and leave her alone. Unsurprisingly, and infuriatingly, the sudden heavy weight of Kaelin's hand on her arm stopped her. Suppressing the dangerous growl that wanted to tear from her, Kara whirled around, staring with a complicated combination of disgust and horror at the confessor's fingers as they dug into the leather and the flesh beneath, and held her forcefully in place. Had it been anyone but Kaelin, she would have pulled her arm out of its socket and thrown it into the forest without even a moment's thought. Kaelin, being Kaelin, ignored the homicidal glare that was being shot in the general direction of her hand, and tightened her grip. Kara bit down hard on her tongue, and willed herself not to swear. "The confessor in me can't," Caelan affirmed, acknowledging Cara's prior observation. "But the woman can tell you're not telling the truth." Cara huffed an annoyed sigh and turned away. "It's a hard world we live in, Cara," Caelan continued, relentless in both making her point and making Cara more furious than she had ever been in all her life. "We don't get many chances." Breathing suddenly became difficult, but Cara didn't want Caelan to know that. She fixed her gaze on the horizon, on the ground, on the sky, on everything except the man in front and the woman behind, and let her eyes lose their focus. It hurt to listen, hurt to hear, and hurt to think. Leo was just a man, she forced herself to remember. Just a man, like the countless others that Cara had had her way with over the course of her life. Who did Caelan Amnell think she was? Imposing imaginary feelings onto Cara and Leo, simply because she missed her own seeker and wanted something else to focus on. Who did Leo Dane think he was? Assuming she cared for him even a quarter as much as he cared for her, simply because she'd allowed him to pleasure her. Who were these people, and why did they insist on making her feel things she'd sworn never to let herself feel again? "If you have feelings for Leo," Caelan was saying, and Cara struggled to keep from screaming, "you should tell him." Blessedly, before Cara had the chance to turn around and drive her fist down the confessor's throat in the vain hope that silencing her words would also silence the voices in her head, Leo shouted that they'd reached their destination. Cara, who had never been so grateful for the end of a journey in all her life, found herself rooted irremovably to the spot. She watched, paralyzed, utterly unable to move as Caelan rushed off to join Zed and Leo on top of the hill that stood before them, only remembering far too many moments later exactly who and what and where she was, tightening her jaw with a resolve that should never have been necessary in the first place. She tore herself away from the thoughts that threatened to drive her mad, and moved to join her waiting companions. There would be time for feelings and other such sentimental nonsense later. For now, they had a quest to complete. Caelan had settled on the other side of the room while Cara had enjoyed herself with Leo, and had remained there afterwards. Unlike the vast majority of Cara's previous couplings, this one seemed to have left her tense and unfulfilled. Caelan had no idea whether it was because Leo was incapable, though if the sounds Cara had been making through the duration were any measure to go by, she doubted that, or for some other reason. But there was no mistaking the miserable tension that racked Cara's posture in what Caelan could safely assume was the morning after. She didn't say much. What little she did say was steeped in bitterness and what Caelan recognized from far too much personal experience as an almost desperate desire to be left alone. Was it possible, she wondered, that the promiscuous Maud Sitt might be regretting a night of passion? If so, the irony wasn't lost on Caelan, who had seen her copulate with men, women, and prostitutes alike, and not bat so much as an eyelash of shame. But with Leo, a man who had seemed to genuinely care for her, who had made her laugh and smile and show a side of herself that even Caelan had never seen, not even once, in her own Cara, with him, it seemed to be a different story. In the wake of what was quite possible the most healthy night of passion she had ever experienced, suddenly Cara was awkward and uncomfortable, and yes, almost embarrassed by what she'd done. If it wasn't so tragic, it would have been laughable. Part of Caelan wanted to chastise Cara for her misplaced priorities, but the majority of her supposed, in a strange sort of way, that she understood. Cara, for all her bluster and self-assuredness, was afraid. Even from her dissociated, spell-displaced distance, Caelan had seen the way Cara's face had lit up when she'd laughed. Even in the haze of sleepy unconsciousness that she'd been swimming in and out of over the last hour or so, She had heard the genuine near-giddy amusement in the Maud Seth's voice, and had known just how rare and precious those things were. Leo had brought out a side of that world, Kara, that was closer to human than anything Kaelan had ever seen, even in her own Kara, and it made sense that the Maud Seth would be terrified to realize just how completely she'd fallen under the thrall of a stranger in so short a time. Maud Seth didn't feel. Kaelan knew it well, and not just because Kara took every opportunity she could find to remind her of the fact. Time and time again, she'd learned the lesson that it was just who Kara was, what the Maud Seth were, everything she had ever been, and that it was too deeply embedded into her heart and soul to ever change. Kara was immune to feeling, despite Richard and Kaelan and Zed's combined efforts to break her of her breaking, to free her from the shackles of her Maud Seth life. Feeling was still ever elusive, ever beyond her grasp. It was more than she was capable of. And yet, this Kara, this unknown and unfamiliar version of a woman that Kaelan believed she knew so well, had found herself, albeit against her will, harbouring genuine feelings for Leo, losing herself within him, laughing and smiling and making love, caring about him, truly and deeply in a way that was undeniable and obvious, even to a woman watching across a distance of worlds and realities. Kara wasn't tense because she was unfulfilled, Kaelan realized. She was tense because she had been loved, and did not understand what it meant to love in return. With all her heart, and with a passion that almost choked her, Kaelan prayed that whatever version of herself existed in the other Kara's world had been kind enough to take her hand and teach her. A Kaelan whose sister had been killed mercifully instead of tortured. A Kaelan who had stood as witness when Kara had sucked up her courage, more courage than she could ever truly realize, and apologized to the very woman whose death she had wrought with her bare hands. That world's Kaelan, it seemed, had been given so many countless reasons to care for Kara, to guide her and take care of her, and see the potential for goodness within her. So many more reasons than she herself had been. So many more flashes of true potential in a woman whose soul should have been beyond salvation. If that other Kaelan was worth anything at all, as a confessor, a woman, a human being, she would do everything within her power to teach Kara what it was to truly feel. She had tried. That was the part that hurt. Despite everything she was, everything she believed, everything that made up her very existence, she had tried. She'd listened to what Kaelan had told her, had felt the heavy weight of the confessor's hand on her arm, had heard the genuine empathy in the other woman's voice, had known and understood the truth in her words, and, rebelling against every last beaten-down inch of herself, she had tried. For all her efforts, it hadn't been enough. Dimly, barely conscious, she was aware of the world spinning around her, of Richard stumbling half-blind and wholly delirious towards Kaelan, free from the shackles placed on him by the Valley of Perdition, of Zed smiling at his grandson with pride, oblivious to the charred corpse that rested so close to him, of Kaelan herself, warmed by Richard's presence, touched and loved and held by him, and yet still so very aware. And, of course, Leo. Good Leo. Kind Leo. Leo with his bright eyes and his hypnotic laugh, and his eagerness to please in spite of how she'd treated him. Leo, with his heart and his flowers and his gentle soul. Her Leo. It was minutes, seconds, hours, days, years, before the others even realized she was there. And even then, it was Kaelan who made them aware of it, just as it always seemed to be. Kara supposed she should have been thankful to the Mother Confessor, should have been touched that, even in the haze of her obvious giddiness at finally having Richard back in her arms, Kaelan could take even just a moment to think of her. In another world, perhaps, she would have allowed herself to feel grateful. But in this one, she just wanted them all to leave, to go away, return to their quest without her, because she could not let them see the pain in her eyes, the pain that would kill her. Can you give him the breath of life? The question almost made her sick. With every ounce of strength she had, she climbed to her feet, willing herself to remain there, to stay strong and steady, and not to collapse beneath the weight of grief crushing her lungs. No, she informed the wizard, unable to tear her gaze from the charred corpse at her feet. His body is beyond saving. It was a mark of just how deeply her suffering ran that, when Zed placed a tentative hand on her shoulder, in what she imagined was supposed to be a gesture of support, she didn't even have enough left within her to wish him dead for it. All her years of Mord Sith training offered nothing in the face of hurt like this. Emotions were weakness, useful only in the breaking of others, sadness, remorse, love. Hadn't she told Kaelin not so long ago that those feelings were marks of weakness, that they were wrong and foolish and needed to be governed? Hadn't she offered to teach the Confessor how to do just that? Hadn't she? Where was her control now? Why couldn't she govern them within herself? Why was she suddenly so helpless? She could not stem the tide of pain, couldn't dam the pulsing waves of loss. She had been raised her entire life to block out, to ignore, to dispose of such worthless sentiments. Why couldn't she block them out now? Why couldn't she stop the pain? Why had her training deserted her now, in the moment when she needed it more than ever? Why, above all else, had he been taken from her? Kara, Kaelin said, and Kara was dimly aware of the Confessor's presence suddenly on her other side. Kara, I'm so sorry. The need to collapse was almost overwhelming. More than anything else in the world right then, Kara wanted to fall into Kaelin's arms, to let the other woman hold her and remind her that Leo was with the Creator now, to take comfort in letting the Confessor tell her that she had been wrong, that Leo had known how she felt, without ever needing to hear the words. She wanted to be weak, and she wanted to be comforted. But she would not be either. She could not. For all the alien emotions surging and breaking within her, she would not do that. She would not succumb to the embrace of a Confessor. She would not let herself be comforted by Kaelin. Kaelin had caused these feelings in her. It was Kaelin's fault that she felt this way, that she could no longer harness her training, that she couldn't divide herself from the pain as she'd been taught to do all her life. It was all Kaelin's fault. Kaelin needed to make it stop. You did this to me, she whispered, turning to the Mother Confessor and willing her eyes to brim with hate instead of tears. You did this to me. Slowly, cautiously, Zed removed his hand from her shoulder, and Kara sensed him taking a couple of uneasy steps backwards. It was some combination, she imagined, of wanting to let the two women be alone, and wanting to welcome his precious grandson back to the group. Kara didn't care. She didn't care about the damned wizard, and right at that moment didn't particularly care about the Lord Rahl either. She knew it was blasphemy, but she didn't have enough strength to care. All she wanted was for Kaelin to give back the Mord Sith discipline she had stolen. I'm sorry, the Confessor was saying, again and again. She was sorry, she was sorry. Kara didn't want to hear it. I don't want to feel, she whispered, hating how much like a child she sounded. I don't want to. I know, Kaelin said, and she had enough tears in her eyes for both of them. I know and I'm sorry, Kara. Stop apologizing, Kara rasped, tasting bile. Stop telling me how sorry you are. Stop talking, just stop talking. Kaelin did. It didn't help. Though it was obvious she wanted to, Kara didn't shed a tear. Kaelin wanted to be saddened by the fact, to be heartbroken that, even a moment of such raw loss. Kara was still unable to give herself that small solace. She wanted to feel bad, but she didn't. She knew Kara too well to expect a genuine moment of mourning, and was surprised enough by the fact that the Maud Sith hadn't vented her grief with her fists or her aegils. Whatever she was feeling just then, however conflicted and confused she had been by what Leo had brought out in her, she was still a Maud Sith at heart, and tears were further beyond her even than feeling. Kaelin, though she desperately wished that it wasn't the case, understood too well that it was. The absence of tears shed didn't lessen the impact of Kara's pain, though. Kaelin had returned to her side in the instant she'd screamed Leo's name, and had pulled her into her arms barely a moment later. At first, Kara had struggled, locked as she had still been in the heat of the battle that had cost Leo his life. But she'd calmed down after a moment or two, and though she couldn't possibly have known that she was being held, she had allowed herself to melt without protest into the embrace, not even shifting in response to the comforting kisses Kaelin had pressed with feverish intensity to her forehead, her cheeks, her jaw. It may not have offered Kara any comfort to receive those small gestures, but it had offered Kaelin some to be able to offer them. She could tell by the snatches of bitter-coated sentences, the flashes of not quite expression, the moments of heavy breathing, that Kara was venting her emotions, in the only way she knew how, with anger and accusation, on the other mother confessor, on the version of herself that Kaelin herself had prayed would teach Kara how to feel. She willed her again now, this time to learn, to accept the acid words and understand the depth of pain behind them, to take them and shape them and accept them. Perhaps she was underestimating the other world's Kaelin, she mused. It was, after all, just another version of herself. And hadn't she come to care about Kara on her own? Her Kara was so much more hardened than the one she was watching now. It was simply unfathomable that another Kaelin, however different she may have been, at least when it came to Kara, would not share her feelings. Kara, of course, would make it just as difficult for her in any world, and Kaelin had smiled tragically at the bitterness that spilled from the Maud Sith's mouth. Kara was like an animal, and it was an animal's first instinct, and a Maud Sith's even more than that, to lash out when it was wounded, as difficult as it was to watch, and even more so, she imagined, to stand stoically idle and receive. It was simply who and what Kara was. A wild, unfettered, dangerous animal. A caged beast who didn't understand human emotion, and who threatened with violence anyone who would dare try and teach it to her. Given what had happened to Leo, Kaelin supposed she could understand the rationale behind Kara's way of living. She would have given anything to spare Kara the hurt she saw flashing and flickering across her face like flames in a dying fire. If it meant seeing her become a shell of a human being once more, emotionless and dead inside as all true Maud Sith were, at least it would keep her free of all of this. At least it would keep her safe from the loss, from the heartbreak, from the grief and the mourning and the tears she would never shed. It may have been a step backwards, but at least it would have protected her from all those things that she, for all her training and all her endurance, was not ready for. Kaelin knew what loss felt like. She'd suffered through it more times than she could count in her lifetime, and twice with her sister alone. She knew pain. She knew bereavement, and she knew grief. Kara had been broken of those feelings when she was a child. With Leo, it seemed, that world's Kara had just tickled the edges of feeling for the first time since she was a little girl. For the first time, she had touched on something that could have been pure and good and innocent and true, and, in a single moment, before she'd even fully been able to grasp the basest concept of what it was, she had seen it torn away from her. It wasn't fair. Suddenly, it didn't matter that Kara couldn't shed a tear, because Kaelin was shedding them all. The tears that Kara could not shed, the tears that she herself had never really needed to. Perhaps, even the very same tears that her other self was shedding as well. Tears enough for everyone, in all possible worlds. In her arms, Kara twisted, every inch of her threatening to break apart at the seams. I do care about you. Kaelin feathered another useless kiss over her brow. He knows, she breathed, wishing it could be true. He knows, Kara. The moment was over in less than a heartbeat, and that broke Kaelin's heart more than anything else. She felt the way Kara tensed again, body going rigid with a determination that bled over into Kaelin as well, as she knew in the instant before it happened that she would be pulling away. Her arms ached, almost muscle deep, at the loss of contact as the Maud Sith fell back against the pillows once more, as though the moment had never happened. You're going to need this back, she said, in a voice that was suddenly harder than flint. We have a quest to get back to. If the shift in her posture and the eyes in her tone were anything to go by, Kaelin suspected that it would be a very long time before Kara allowed herself to indulge in the weakness of feeling again, if she ever did at all. She could feel, though their bodies were no longer touching, the way Kara was retreating into herself, losing herself amid the memories of her training, her breaking, the tortures she'd endured throughout her life. She was reverting, forcing the trauma of emotion into a darkened and long-forgotten corner, just as she had for the sake of survival when she was a child, never to be seen again. The tragedy, the part that stole Kaelin's breath and made the tears flow anew, was the fact that she couldn't even blame Kara for it. Given the choice, she suspected she might have done exactly the same thing herself.